الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. The second ayah in العقيدة الواسطية لشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية, and we're dealing with the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the attributes of negation, right? And that there's nothing co-equal to Allah. We're denying Allah having equals or rivals and the likes. And the first ayah we quoted was فَعْبُدْهُ وَاصْطَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيَّ Surah Maryam verse 65. The second ayah we quoted was وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ And we said that there are three different qira'at. Who remembers them? Three different ways to say kufuwan. We expounded on that. But so much for the memory. Huh, brothers? Any volunteers? We said there are different qira'at in the Book of Allah. You were absent. Sorry, you're excused. The rest of the crowd. Tayyib.
Kufuwan wa kufuwan wa kufuwan ha.
That's a good one. Well, you got one of them right, akhi. Kufuwan with the one we agree about.
Yeah.
Kufuwan. And kufuan is the second one you quoted, which is correct. And kuf'an.
Kuf'an.
Kuf'an. With a sukun on the fa.
Yeah.
Right, so it can be said in three different ways. Kufuwan, kufuan, and kuf'an. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفْءًا أَحَدٍ أَوْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُؤًا أَحَدٍ أَوْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا which is a popular one, أَحَدٍ
كُفُوًا
yeah.
Same meaning.
Different.
Three types.
Right, because the Qur'an we said was revealed on 7 different letters or 10 different letters. عشر سبعة أحرف. And you will hear, as we mentioned, ورش and different means or different ways of recitation. Popular among the Sahaba. We all know the narration where one of the Sahabis was reciting the Quran and another one heard him. He said, what is this you're doing? You know, and I'm going to tell the Messenger of Allah that he said, I heard this from the Messenger of Allah. And he went to him and he told him, this is fine and this is fine. Okay? They were different qira'at. Anyways, that's not...
Give another example. Malik yawmiddin, Malik yawmiddin.
Right, we mentioned that. You could say Maliki yawmiddin or Maliki yawmiddin. And we said in Surah Al-Fajr, فَيَوْمَئِذٍ لَا يُعَذِّبُ عَذَابَهُ أَحَدٍ or فَيَوْمَئِذٍ لَا يُعَذَّبُ عَذَابَهُ أَحَدٍ both. Hey, one speaking of Allah, no one will punish like Allah, or the other meaning, no one will be punished like that man. Right? And the list goes on. I mean, there are many, 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 many more. Right? So alhamdulillah, this is all from the mercy of Allah. عَلَى كُلِّ حَال هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ أيضا فيها نفي الكفء لله عز وجل. This ayah also includes or affirms negating the equal to Allah عز وجل. وذلك لكمال صفاته. And this is because of the perfection of Allah's attributes. فلا أحد يكافئه. None is co-equal to him. لا في علمه, not in Allah's knowledge, ولا في سمعه, not in his hearing, ولا بصره, not in his seeing, ولا قدرته, not in his ability, ولا عزته, not in his might, ولا حكمته, not in his wisdom, ولا غير ذلك من الصفات, or any other attributes of Allah. الآية الثالثة قوله فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا وأنتم تعلمون. Then do not make or set up rivals with Allah while you know. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 22. Now, هذا مفرع على قوله. The Shaykh said this is a branch of an initial statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, where he said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This is the first command addressing mankind. The first address to mankind was to worship Allah. in order to attain taqwa. الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا والسماء بناء وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم then فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا وأنتم تعلمون. The one who has made the earth a bed spread out for you and the heavens as a construction or a ceiling, and he sent down from the heavens water by which vegetation grows as means of sustenance for you. Then وَهَا كُلُّ هَذَا مِنْ تَوْحِيدُ الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ. This is all the oneness of Allah in terms of His rububiyyah, being the Lord. None does that but Allah. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. Then the consequence of that is that you should not worship others with Allah. You do not worship others with Allah. يعني في الألوهية, meaning in ألوهية. Just Allah being the ilah, the only one deserving worship, the only divine being that exists. لأن أولئك القوم المخاطبين لم يجعلوا لله أندادا في الربوبية. Because these people whom Allah is addressing did not associate partners with Allah in terms of lordship. Right? The mushrikeen of Quraysh did not claim that there was another creator with Allah. Right? That they understood. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. In the Quran, Allah says, if you were to ask him who created the heavens and the earth, they will say, Allah. Then they affirmed that, but they didn't worship him alone. إِذَنْ فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا فِي الْأُلُوهِيَّةِ كَمَا أَنَّكُمْ تُقِرُّونَ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ أَنْدَادًا فِي الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ. So then do not associate partners or make rivals to Allah in His uluhiyya, the same way you affirm and confess to the fact that there is none equal with Allah or no rivals with Allah in His rububiyya. وَقَوْلُهُ أَنْدَادًا جَمْعُ نِدْ وَنِدُّ الشَّيْءِ مَا كَانَ مُنَادًا أَيْ مُكَافَأً أَوْ مُكَافِئًا أَوْ مُكَافَأً لَهُ وَمُشَابِهًا وَمَا زَالَ النَّاسِ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا نِدٌّ لِهَذَا أَيْ مُقَابِلٌ لَهُ وَمُكَافِئٌ لَهُ. The Shaykh said, Nid and Dadan is the plural of Nid. And Nid is, the Nid of something is something that is equal. Again, we're going around the same meaning, right? Which is something that is similar, likening, right? He said, and people continue to say, هَذَا نِدٌّ لِهَذَا. This is equal to that. This is equal to that. A.
Noon dal.
Same, equal, rival. I mean, the meanings are similar, really. It depends on the context. But ultimately, what we mean is Allah having anything like Him. Yeah, that's what we're denying. That there's nothing equal to Allah in any way, shape, or form. So sometimes you see the translations as rivals. They call them rivals. Because indeed, you've given them Allah's attributes. So in this case, the Christians have made Jesus a rival to Allah, Mary a rival to Allah, the Holy Ghost a rival to Allah, because they're giving them Allah's attributes. So it's like they're giving them divine attributes, so now they are rivals. So they're not, you know, this is what is intended. Wallahu a'lam. Ala kulli hal, al-jumla al-haliyya huna sifatu kashifa. وصف الكاشف كالتعليل للحكم فكأنه قال لا تجعلوا لله أندادا لأنكم تعلمون أنه لا ند له فإذا كنتم تعلمون ذلك فكيف تجعلونه فتخالفون علمكم. Now the Shaykh mentioned something linguistic, which is the format of or the sentence structure where this ayah and this ayah where Allah Azza wa Jal says فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. He said as if he's telling them, you know that there's no equal to Allah, so do not make them. If you know already, then do not make them while you know that, right? So this is, so how do you make equals to God while you know that there's none equal to Him, right? وَهَذِي أَيْضًا سَلْبِيَّةً. And this is also negation, right? فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. وَذَلِكَ مَقَوْلِهِ فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا لِأَنَّهُ لَا نِدَّ لَهُ لِكَمَالِ صِفَاتِهِ. Again, there's none equal. There are no rivals with Allah or to Allah because of the perfection of His attributes. The fourth ayah, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. And what does the ayah continue to say?
There are some people.
No, I didn't ask for the translation. I said the continuation. ومن الناس من يتخذ من دون الله أندادا يحبونهم كحب الله والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. نعم. The Sheikh said, let me translate. Now, among people, among mankind, are those who take or make with Allah, set up with Allah, other rivals, other gods, other equals. And they love them the same way they love Allah. Right? So notice, Allah affirmed love to him, but he also affirmed that they love these other beings, other creation of Allah, alongside with Allah, in a manner that is equal. The quality of the believers is that وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. They love Allah the most, and everything else is secondary. Right? Even our love to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is conditional to the love of Allah. If Allah didn't love him, we wouldn't love him either. Right? If Allah didn't command us to love him, we couldn't love him. Our love to him is because of Allah choosing him, commanding us to love him, and he made that conditional to loving Allah. So this is where the love of the Prophet ﷺ came into existence. Otherwise he's a human being like us, and that love, you know, no one deserves in the ultimate sense but Allah Azza wa Jal. And so this is what we need to understand correctly. وَمِن تَبْعِضِيَّ وَالْمِيزَانُ لِمِنِّ تَبْعِضِيَّ أَنْ يَحِلُّ مَحَلَّهَا بَعْضِ يعني وَبَعْضَ النَّاسِ. Now min has a number of meanings in the Arabic language, one of which is from. Min al-madrasa ila al-bayt. From the school to the house. From school to the house. Right? Min. And min sometimes mean tabi'idiyya, meaning partial. Partial, afwan. Partial meaning a part of something. Right? Min al-nas meaning among people. Some of people. Part of people. Something like that. Hey. The Sheikh said, how do you know which one is which? If you come across it, try to substitute the word min with ba'd. If the meaning is sound, ba'd, which means some, then min here means some. If the meaning is not sound, it doesn't work. If I say ba'd al-madrasa ila al-bayt, the meaning is incorrect. Some school to the house? No. Right? So here substituting min with ba'd doesn't work. But if I said min al-tullab man huwa najih, among the students, or from the students is one or some who are successful. If I took out min and put some, the meaning is sound, right? So just in case you're interested. مَن يَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يَتَّخِذُهُمْ أَنْدَادًا يعني فِي الْمَحَبَّةِ كَمَا فَسَّرَهُ بِقَوْلِهِ يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. What is intended by them making them equals with Allah in terms of love. In terms of love. As Allah explained Himself, they love them the same way they love Allah. وَيَجُوزُ أَن نَقُولَ إِنَّ الْمُرَادِ بِالْأَنْدَادِ مَا هُوَ أَعَمُّ مِنَ الْمَحَبَّةِ. And the Shaykh said, it is permissible for us to say that what is intended by أَنْدَاد is more than only love. يَعْنِي أَنْدَادًا يَعْبُدُونَهُمْ كَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ اللَّهِ. Meaning equals or rivals which they worship the same way they worship Allah. And make sure when you use that particular English word worship, you say worship and not warship, because war is war, ship is a ship, and so that's a whole other meaning. You know, warship is a ship that they use at war. Right? So make sure that the pronunciation is sound. War. I say war, you say war. Muhammad, war. Worship. There you go. You could do it, akhi. Because I've heard, you know, some people say worship. I'm like, no, we don't want any wars and we don't need any ships, and this is da'wah Allah khalik. Keep it sound and...
Worship is two letters. Worship is one letter.
It doesn't matter now. The person is listening to you, is not reading you. You see what I'm saying? Now, yeah, if you're reading it, obviously, war, ship is two words, but we're talking about audible sounds. Okay. If you hear someone saying worship, what may come to my mind is a warship. But when you say worship, I mean, all of the words that usually have W-O are supposed to be what? Word, work, worship. This is how it is pronounced, not the other way around. Ala kulli hal, I'll keep my English business to myself, I guess. Maybe brothers are not very interested in it. We are getting refuted already. وَيَنْذُرُونَ لَهُمْ كَمَا يَنْذُرُونَ لِلَّهِ. And they make the vows, you know, they take vows for them the same way they do them for Allah. لِأَنَّهُمْ يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. Because they love them the same way they love Allah. يُحِبُّونَ هَذِي الْأَنْدَادِ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. They love these rivals the same way they love Allah عَزَّ وَجَلْ. وَهَذَا إِشْرَاكٌ فِي الْمَحَبَّةِ بِحَيْثُ تَجْعَلْ غَيْرَ اللَّهِ مِثْلُ اللَّهِ فِي مَحَبَّتِهِ. This is shirk in love, where you love other than Allah the same way you love Allah. How does that manifest? Who can give me a classical example? How does that manifest in our daily life? Love. How can someone, one of us, commit shirk in love with Allah? Either no one speaks or everybody speaks at the same time. Allah shagla.
Huh? I love you as I like Allah, as I love Allah.
No, no, I want the manifestation of this.
So they're disobeying Allah to because of their love towards their parents. Say like they want to get the dowry system, you know. They're thinking Allah is prohibiting the dowry system. I'm sorry, it's prohibition. But they do because of their love towards their family.
Good. One's wife, one's children, right? Their love to them may necessitate that they ignore Allah, right? And because wifey likes something which Allah doesn't love, ما في مشكلة. As long as my love to my wife will allow me to disregard the deen of Allah in order to please her. This is shirk in love, right? It manifests in many different ways with the children, as the brother mentioned, with the parents, right? Loving them to the extent that we are favoring them over Allah's rights.
It's more than Allah's love.
Huh?
So you're loving them more than Allah's love.
If you want to put it that way, naam.
It's not equal.
It's a form of shirk, yes, it's not equal. Well, I mean, you're not totally submitting to them, where you're worshipping them besides Allah. But in this area, there's this kind of favoring. Right, so Allah musta'an. وينطبق ذلك على من أحب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كحب الله. Pay attention now. The Shaykh is bringing the aqidah into the business now. And what falls under that, what we can categorize under that, is loving Allah's Messenger the same way you love Allah. That's a no-no, right? لأنه يجب أن تحب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم محبة ليس كمحبة الله. Your love to the Messenger of Allah should be unlike your love to Allah. It's not the same kind of love. Now, because there's a difference between loving the creation and loving the Creator. And if you love the Creator the same way you love the creation, then you're committing shirk, because you're making the creation equal to the Creator. Very technical. لأنك إنما تحب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تبعا لمحبة الله عز وجل. Because your love to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم is a byproduct of your love to Allah, is a consequence of your love to Allah. لا على أنه مناد لله. Not because he is equal to Allah. فكيف بمن يحبون الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثر مما يحبون الله. So what do you say about those who love the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم more than they love Allah? That's a calamity. And نعم. وهنا يجب أن نعرف الفرق بين المحبة مع الله والمحبة لله. So here we need to make a distinction and know the difference between loving alongside with Allah and loving for the sake of Allah. The Shaykh will break it down. المحبة مع الله أن تجعل غير الله مثله في محبته أو أكثر وهذا شرك. Loving with Allah is to love someone other than Allah the same way you love Allah or even more, and that is shirk. والمحبة في الله أو لله, loving in Allah or for the sake of Allah, هي أن تحب الشيء تبعا لمحبة الله عز وجل. That you love something as a consequence of your love to Allah, right? And as we mentioned earlier concerning the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. والذي نستفيده من الناحية المسلكية في هذه الآيات. In terms of the practical benefit that we attain or derive from these آيات. أولا في قوله تبارك اسم ربك ذي الجلال والإكرام. First, concerning Allah's statement, blessed is the name of your Lord, full of bounty and grace and honor. إذا علمنا أن الله تعالى موصوف بالجلال فإن ذلك يستوجب أن نعظمه وأن نجله. If we know that Allah is described with the quality of hollowness, being extolled, then we should extol Allah Azza wa Jal and magnify Him. وإذا علمنا أنه موصوف بالإكرام فإن ذلك يستوجب أن نرجو كرمه وفضله. And if we know that Allah is described as being the generous, the honorable, then this necessitates that we hope that we attain Allah's bounty and Allah's generosity. وَبِذَلِكَ نُعَظِّمُهُ بِمَا يَسْتَحِقُهُ مِنَ التَّعْظِيمِ وَالتَّكْرِيمِ. So consequently, we magnify Allah according to what He deserves due to His ultimate bounty and His greatness and grace.
ثَانِيًا قَوْلُهُ فَاعْبُدُهُ وَاصْطَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ. فالفوائد المسلكية في ذلك هو أن يعبد العبد ربه ويصطبر للعبادة لا يمل ولا يتعب ولا يضجر بل يصبر عليها صبر القرين لقرينه في المبارزة في الجهاد.
The practical benefit is that the slave worships his Lord. He worships his Lord and he is patient in that worship. He does not become bored. He does not become tired. He does not become impatient, rather he remains patient, the same way the those who compete in the battlefield are, you know, going one against the other. You know, you stick to him, you stick to that ibadah. And with that said, what that means is that if you are coming to this dars, and you are in a position where you have to choose between making it to the first jama'ah or missing, making it to first jama'ah and missing being here immediately for the dars, or coming late, right, to make it for the dars and getting the second jama'ah, then as a person who is, Allah decreed that I'm the instructor, I guess, I favor that you pray elsewhere, in the first row. If you came early, it doesn't make sense that you wind up in the second row. If you were here early, you should be in the first row automatically. Your wudu, your bathroom business should have been handled before. So when the time of the salah comes, there's nothing that will distract you, right? So if ever you are in this position, come late, as long as you pray in a jama'ah in the first row, this is more beloved to me than you coming to the desk with the second jama'ah, inshallah. This is just a general reminder for all of us. Hey, so then we remain patient and, you know, in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. ثالثاً, هل تعلم له سمية? Do you know anyone who shares his name? One translation. Or do you know any equals to him? وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. There's none co-equal to him. فَلَا تَجْعَلُ لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. Do not make rivals or set up rivals with Allah. فَفِيهَا تَنْزِيهٌ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. In that is extolling Allah and freeing him from every derogatory, deficient quality. That Allah is perfect in the ultimate sense. وَأَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ يَشْعُرُ فِي قَلْبِهِ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى مُنَزَّهٌ عَنْ كُلِّ نَقْصٍ وَأَنَّهُ لَا مَثِيلَ لَهُ وَلَا نِدَّ لَهُ وَبِهَذَا يُعَظِّمَهُ حَقَّ تَعْظِيمِهِ بِقَدْرِ اسْتِطَاعَتِهِ. That the human being feels in the depth of his heart that Allah Azza wa Jalla is free from every deficiency and imperfection, and there's none equal to him. And with that, he magnifies Allah the way he deserves it to the best of his ability.
رابعا قوله ومن الناس من يتخذ من دون الله أندادا.
Concerning Allah's statement, and among mankind are those who take or set up rivals with Allah.
فمن فوائدها من الناحية المسلكية.
The practical benefits are أنه لا يجوز للإنسان أن يتخذ أحدا من الناس محبوبا كمحبة الله وهذه تسمى المحبة مع الله. That it is not permissible for anyone to take another human being, another of the creation of Allah, in a way where they love them the same way they love Allah. And that this is called المحبة مع الله, loving with Allah, as opposed to المحبة في الله or لله.
Except Allah.
A.
No, not accept. I love you for Allah or in Allah. So that's why أحبك في الله. You hear that? If you love your brother, say أحبك في الله. And what do you say? أحبك الله الذي أحببتني فيه. أو أحبك لله. أحبك الله الذي أحببتني له. Lam here for. I love you for the sake of Allah.
Lam is her name. No, negative.
Sheikh, Lam has so many meanings. So many meanings depending on the context. Right? So you have to refer back to the grammar.
Lam alif is la, sir.
Lam alif is la. No. But Lam on its own, it varies in meaning depending on the context. Li,
yes,
li something for something. Right? I'm doing this lillah, not for you, right? Lil ustad, this for the teacher, right? Lil madrasa, for the school, in this context.
What should be implied if somebody tells us, habakallah?
Habakallah. He doesn't say habakallah. If someone says, uhibbuka fillah, I love you in Allah, which means I love you for Allah, I love you in Allah's sake. Then you say, ahabbakallahu. الذي أحببتني فيه أحبك الله may Allah love you الذي the one أحببتني فيه the one whom you love me for hey. This is from the sunnah this is from the teachings of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم حسنا الآية الخامسة قوله وقل الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا سورة الإسراء verse 111 and say praise be to Allah who has not taken a son or partner in his dominion and has no need of a protector out of weakness and glorify him with great glorification right وكبره تكبيرا or magnify him however you'd like to translate it وقل الخطاب في مثل هذا إما خاص بالرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام أو عام لكل من يصح توجيه الخطاب إليه توجيه الخطاب إليه عفوا قل what does it mean? Okay. The Shaykh said in this context whenever you come across قل it's one of two things either it is particular to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم only for him or it is general And it includes anyone who is qualified to be addressed. Anyone who is able to carry out this task of conveying, then they are included in this ayah, right? Anyone. So this us, right? The Muslims. So we say what Allah said. The Shaykh will break it down so you will know. فَإِذَا كَانَ خَاصًا بِالرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَهُوَ خَاصٌ بِهِ بِالْقَصْدِ الْأَوَّلِ وَأُمَّتُهُ تَبَعًا أَوْ تَبَعٌ لَهُ If this speech is addressing the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly, then it is specific to him initially. However, the ummah is after him in the understanding, because we are the carriers of the message. So the address is initially to him, and we are followers on his footsteps. We are not automatically included, but it is understood that because when he died, alayhi salatu wasalam, someone will continue to convey the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, so then the ummah is included by understanding, in theory that is. وإن كان عاما فهو يشمل الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وغيره بالقصد الأول. If it is general, then it includes the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and the rest automatically. الحمد لله سبق تفسير هذه الجملة وأن الحمد هو وصف المحمود بالكمال مع المحبة والتعظيم. الحمد لله all praises due to Allah had previously been explained by the Shaykh himself رحمه الله. And basically the conclusion is it is to praise and alhamdulillah is describing the one who is praised with perfection due to love and glorification. وقوله لله اللام هنا للاستحقاق والاختصاص. Here's the lamb for you, ya Captain Muhammad. لله here it is a lamb of istihqaq, deserving. والاختصاص specification, meaning it is exclusivity, exclusive to Allah. يعني الحمد لله only. because no one deserves alhamd in the ultimate sense, right? والاختصاص لأن الحمد الذي يحمد الله به ليس كالحمد الذي يحمد به غيره بل هو أكمل وأعظم وأعم وأشمل. Because the manner by which Allah is praised is unlike that of the creation when you praise them. The praising of Allah is more perfect, is greater, more encompassing and more general. Whereas praising someone, for instance, we say, MashaAllah, the brother has an excellent character. Okay? He is generous. You're praising him for some, but he may have many other issues, right? Right. So you praise someone, right? But it is ultimately deficient also, because his quality is not perfect first and foremost. Even if he's generous, he's not the most generous. He's just generous. There may be more generous people. Secondly, he has other deficient qualities. So to praise him in the ultimate sense is not applicable. Whereas with Allah, when you praise Allah, it's for having a perfect attribute and for the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal, none shares that with Him, right? Is this alone who deserves all the praise? There's absolutely no deficiency associated with that. وَقَوْلُهُ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا هَذَا مِنَ الصِّفَاتِ السَّلْبِيَّةِ. Allah who has not taken a son. Tell that to the Christians. هذا من الصفات السلبية. This is from the negating qualities. That one of the attributes of Allah is not begetting nor being begotten. Right? He didn't beget. لم يلد. The same thing. He didn't take a son. لم يتخذ ولدا لكمال صفاته وكمال غناه عن غيره. He did not take a son because of his perfection and his self-sufficiency. Whereby he doesn't need anything. I mean, having a son usually means you need someone. One of the objectives of having children, ultimately, for the parents, besides the entertainment, is benefit, long-term benefit. Because a day will come where you're an old person who will need assistance. Asking strangers is not really nice, you know. Hiring someone, or it's not the same as your own child who is responsible for you. So you don't feel this feeling of being a burden on your child as you would feel with a stranger. So ultimately, among the benefits of having children is that you benefit from them at some point in time. You take care of them. It's the way it works, is you take care of them in the beginning and they take care of you at the end, right? So it's like, you know, I give you, I scratch your back and you scratch mine. That's what it is. This is why you have children. If someone is self-sufficient, I mean, if you were so perfect, right? You don't even understand. Why worry about the child? Because it's responsibility. If you never needed anyone to help you in anything, then you might as well live life just chilling. No need for anything to bother me. وَلِأَنَّهُ لَا مَثِيلَ لَهُ. Also, Allah has nothing equal to him. How are you going to say Allah is a child? أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. This is crazy, man. فَلَوْ اتَّخَذَ وَلَدًا لَكَانَ الْوَلَدُ مِثْلَهُ. If Allah had taken a son, then the son must be like Allah. Because Allah, there's nothing like Allah, and if you know Allah, if it's His son, not His creation, that means it must be like Allah. وَلَوْ كَانَ لَهُ وَلَدٌ لَكَانَ مُحْتَاجًا إِلَى الْوَلَدِ يُسَعِدُهُ وَيُعِينُهُ. And had Allah had a child, then He would need this child in order to help him and aid him. وَلَوْ كَانَ لَهُ وَلَدٌ لَكَانَ نَاقِصًا. And had Allah had a son, he would have become deficient. لِأَنَّهُ إِذَا شَبَهُ أَحَدٌ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ فَهُوَ نَقْصٌ. Because if any of Allah's creation is equal to him, then Allah is deficient. If the creation is equal to the Creator, then khalas, we lost the whole purpose of the great Creator and the variation between the Creator and the creation. We fell back into anthropomorphism, which is giving the creation Allah's attributes, or giving Allah's attributes that of the creation. And it's a mix. It's a mix up now. There's no point. There's no more God and creation. So these Christians, man, you know, you don't know what to do with them, really. It's amazing how they've, you know, produced this outlandish, nonsensical belief system, which they really believe in, right? They adhere to with love and passion. And some of them might cry for the sake of this belief that God, you know, He loved us so much, right? And they have John 3:16, you know, for God so loved the world For God so loved the world. He loved the world so much. What did He do? That He gave, this is what they say in the Bible, He gave His only begotten Son, right? Only begotten Son. So whosoever believes in Him, right, shall never perish, but have eternal life. Sounds dandy, huh? Sounds nice and adorable. Oh, how nice. But if you come to think about it, this is crazy. First, does Allah love the world? No. The Prophet ﷺ said, if this dunya was worth to Allah the wing of a mosquito, remember the lecture? He would not give a kafir a sip of water to drink. But the dunya is equal to nothing in the sight of Allah. He hates the dunya, but He made it a test. He made it the grounds where we will be tested. Allah loves Jannah, where the believers will be rewarded. So we don't even believe that Allah loves the dunya, right? We don't believe Allah loves the dunya. But for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Now, you stop with the Christian, say, time out. I'm an ignorant individual, Mr. Christian, educate me. None of them will ever be able to educate you because you're more knowledgeable than them, period. But just hypothetically speaking, for the sake of argument, tell them, what does the word begotten mean? Let them explain. Because we know in the language, and this for da'wah purposes, there are two kinds of fatherhood and sonhood, right? Biological and metaphorical. Biological, meaning DNA wise, it's proven through sexual intercourse that this child is a product of the mama and baba having fun on one of them nights or days. Whereas metaphorical is vast. An older brother will tell a younger person, my son, can you hand me the cup of water? And no one will believe or assume that this is his physical, biological son. Or you say, my father, to an elderly person, a very old person, my father, can I help you cross the street? And this does not suggest or mean that he is your father. So biological and metaphorical. If it's metaphorical, we will entertain it. Possible to use these kinds of expressions, because in the language of in the Arabic language and in the Hebrew language, which is an Aramaic sister language to Arabic, they have these kind of speeches, the metaphorical speech. Even in English, right? It's raining cats and dogs. I mean, it's not raining cats and dogs, but they say that. Now, when they say begotten, my brothers in Islam, this destroys the metaphorical meaning. And this forces you to believe in the biological one. Because according to the dictionary, begotten is that which is produced due to relationship. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. Then the word doesn't make sense. So if they claim begotten, then we have an issue. Because we have other verses in the Bible that says Ephraim is the son of God, Abraham is the son of God, Israel is the son of God, David is the son of God. We have multiple verses mentioning, and not only that, it says Ephraim is my firstborn. It says Israel, one time it says Israel is my firstborn. Another verse in the Bible says Ephraim is my firstborn. Two people in the Bible were called the firstborn of God. And now we have Jesus also, add him to the list. So we say, if you say begotten, then we are forcing the biological conception of the word. Now we have a major dilemma. If you mean metaphorical, I may agree with you that, you know, they said father meaning the caretaker, so they refer to God. Son meaning a devout worshipper, so he was called the son. In a metaphorical sense, we will entertain it. But when they insist on begotten, this is no longer applicable. So we say, what do you mean that God begot a son? How? With who? In what manner? If they say he had a relation with Mary, this is disbelief and blasphemy according to all religions. They will negate that. Then you say then the word begotten cannot be used unless it is a relation. If you deny the relation, then you have an issue with the verse. Guess what? Biblical scholars, 32 of them from the highest eminence, from backed up by 50 cooperating denominations of Christianity, came together to revise the Bible, and they took out the word begotten from John 3:16. You know why? Because when they made the study in the Greek manuscripts, they did not find it. It was introduced. It's an interpolation into the Bible. It's an addition into the Bible for what? For the Christians to propagate their belief system that Jesus is the Son of God, He's your Savior. If they took it out of the Bible, which is the only time where it comes begotten, if they took it out, then this destroys Christianity from within. And you know what happened? After they took it out, they put it back in. Because Christianity will be gone. All Christians will become Muslims. If this element is destroyed, there's no more Christianity. Christianity is built on three things. Just so you would know, for da'wah. Malice, this is part and parcel of the dars, because this is the ikhlas and the... three things. Original sin. Without original sin, there's no point in the death of Jesus. They believe in original sin. That Adam and Eve disobeyed Allah, and Allah never forgave them. They inherited the sin, they kept it, and the children of Adam and Eve continued to inherit that sin from their fathers until it became huge. When it became so huge, it required the death of the Son of God. Because they said the sin was so huge that the regular sacrifice could not really take care of it. It required divine sacrifice. So God took a son, or according to the other denominations, became a man himself and came down to earth in order to kill himself so he can please himself. And that all does not really materialize unless you believe that Jesus was crucified, buried, and resurrected 3 days afterwards. This is what Christianity is built upon. It's like three pillars with a rooftop. If you take out any of these pillars, the whole thing will be destroyed. Ironically, all three can be refuted logically and biblically. From the logical aspect point of view, we will destroy the original sin because it doesn't make sense. And there are verses in the Bible, clear like the sun, that says, the Father shall not, this is in the book of Ezekiel, the Father shall not bear the sin of the Son, and the Son shall not bear the sin of the Father. In the Bible, that you don't inherit the sin of your father, right? And this is Ezekiel, chapter 10, I don't remember the verse, I will give it to you later inshallah. In the Bible. The second, all of them, I'm not going to elaborate more. All three can be refuted logically and biblically and obviously Quranically and Islamically. So if you're able to cover these three elements with any Christian, you've destroyed him. In a sense that you've destroyed his belief system. If he doesn't become a Muslim afterwards, then his affair is with Allah. But you, as far as you're concerned, you've left no room for him to deny. Because of course this is with the Tawheed. I'm not saying that we only stick to that and we don't give him Tawheed. After delivering the message of Tawheed, this is what you can tackle. Right? And so this it will show you that their belief system is man-made. Imagine people coming into the Bible, adding verses, deleting verses, taking out words, adding in the next version. What kind of book of God is this?
When was this phrase taken out from the Bible?
Some within the last 100 years. Yeah. And some of the versions, you know, there are the King James Version, the American Standard, and some of the versions it still does, it's not there. And the other versions, they put it back in. Because without it, the whole thing is down the drain. So, you know, these are amazing facts that tells you, you know, what the Christians are all about. And the average Christian does not know any of this. He is more ignorant than a doorbell, as they say, right? Or a doorknob, excuse me. He doesn't know anything. So all you have to do is explain to him Tawheed. You know, if he has a shubha, then you may break this down for him and give him some biblical verses. Not a must that you know the Bible to give da'wah. This is just a bonus. But all you need to do is explain to them, because they have no foundation. He doesn't know what he believes. You tell him, when you worship, when you make supplication, who are you thinking of? The Father or the Son or the Holy Ghost? Yeah. Who? And if he gives you one of them, say how? When you say in your belief that they're co-equal, why are you dividing them?
Partiality.
He would, khalas, he'd be, okay, I need to go now. Right? My boss is calling me, and he will run away. But you need to catch him later. طيب على كل حال وقوله ولدا يشمل الذكر والأنثى. Saying Allah using the term ولد, usually used for male or female?
Female.
What about the girl?
Bint.
Bint. Walad for the boy, bint for the girl. But here Allah using the expression waladan, the Shaykh said includes male and female. فَفِيهِ رَدٌ عَلَى الْيَهُودِ وَالنَّصَارَ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ. In that is a refutation for the against the Jews, the Christians, and the polytheists. The Christians, they said Jesus is the Son of God, right? The Son of Allah, حَشَى لِلَّهِ. The Jews, what did they say?
Angels are the daughter of
God. The Jews?
No,
Uzair. Come on, it's in the Quran. It's in the Quran. The Jew said Uzair is the son of Allah. And the Christian said Isa is the son of Allah. Right? This is lying. And what did the Mushrikeen say? Who are the children or the daughters of Allah? The angels. Right? They say that the angels, Surah As-Saffat. Subhanallah, I cannot bring the ayah to mind. I was made to forget it. Ala kulli hal. And many in Surah Al-Isra, Allah refuted that idea that the mushrikeen used to claim that the angels are the daughters of Allah. Even though they hated females. Right? If one of them was given the news of a female, he would bury her alive. So they refused to have daughters for themselves, but they had no problem attributing that to Allah. And that's what Allah, you know, criticized them in the Quran. That, you know, if one of them was given the news of a girl, he would have a problem. But no problem to say that the angels are the daughters of Allah. Allah says, أَشَهِدُوا خَلْقَهُمْ. Allah says in Surah As-Saffat, did they witness their creation? Did they see how Allah created them in female? Did they see the angels? No, they didn't. So claim are they accusing Allah Azza wa Jalla of taking the angels as daughters? And we know the angels are neither male nor female. They're not like the human beings. They don't have gender. Right there? They don't have any gender. That's the belief system of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Al-Yahudu qalu lillahi walad wa huwa Uzair. The Jews said Allah has a son, it's Uzair. وَالنَّصَارَ قَالُوا لِلَّهِ وَلَدُ وَهُوَ الْمَسِيحِ. The Christian said, Allah is the son, it's Jesus. وَالْمُشْرِكُونَ قَالُوا لِلَّهِ وَلَدُ وَهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. And the Mushrikeen said, Allah has children and it's the angels. وَقَوْلُهُ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ. هذا مَعْطُوفٌ عَلَى قَوْلِهِ وَلَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا. The statement of Allah, and he has no partners sharing his dominion, is in conjunction with لم يتخذ ولدا. He did not beget or take up a son. يعني والذي لم يكن له شريك في الملك لا في الخلق ولا في الملك ولا في التدبير. Meaning the one who has no partner in his dominion, not in his creation, not in his sovereignty, and not in his arranging of the affairs. None shares that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. على كل حال, with that we will conclude this particular dars. And we will continue with the same ayah inshaAllah ta'ala if we all remain alive next week, dealing with more verses and then the benefits attained thereby. And we still have a number of ayat in this chapter of negating equals to Allah. We have a 7th and an 8th ayah, and 9th and a 10th ayah. And then we'll be going into something very, very, very interesting / fundamental that we should all know before we die, inshallah. But we will leave that till then. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.